Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
My Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
How's everyone doing out there?
How you doing?
Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, yeah, because you're going to be listening to it. We're just getting ready to do our holiday.
You're leaving me.
I'm leaving, and then
One work day a week.
No, I don't. You work. You're only working two work days.
Two is a lot more than
Monday,
one.
And I come back Saturday. You come back Sunday. I come back a day early.
We don't work on the weekend.
Yeah, but that's how I had to set it up. 4 days. Four days.
Whatever.
I'm going to argue about that
one. She's arguing. It's okay. Sorry, you all have to witness this.
Pardon me.
Pardon me. How did you guys like our last podcast?
Was that the...
Imposter.
The imposter.
Oh, no.
I thought it was Ancestral Wisdom.
Ancestral Wisdom.
I kept talking about it afterwards to people.
I've been thinking a lot about it.
It was good. Or it triggered me to think about a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And then I keep talking to my family about it. I'm sure they're like, stop already.
Oh, but it is interesting conversation.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was thinking about is how every single podcast, I'm basically just like, this is what I'm thinking about. And I feel like I never have any sort of answers to anything.
Right. Although we offer some solutions or some ideas for solutions.
So I hope it doesn't feel like, at least when I'm talking, you definitely answer more solutions than I do. But I feel like at least when I'm talking, I hope you all aren't just like, oh my gosh, there's too much to think about.
She's got a big problem.
Welcome to my brain. We all have big problems.
It's a good brain, very overactive.
Yeah, it needs to slow down. Mm-hmm. That's why Ula's so good for me. Because mm-hmm. as we've been talking about, it's literally moving meditation.
It is moving meditation. I mean,
it is.
The funny thing is when we say moving meditation, and you all maybe think this too, I think it. It's supposed to be like,
and now I'm moving.
And then we're like walking. Yeah. And I've done a moving meditation class before, and we were all like walking in a circle.
Yeah.
And people saying we'd stop. And
this is my chant now.
Yeah, and like, you're chanting. And then yeah. Some people are like diving down, and other people are pulsing against the wall. But
we almost, for Tulum, made everyone do an Osho meditation.
Oh, boy.
Which is like, I mean, it's actually the concept is super cool, but I think. Actually, for myself personally, I would love to try it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got these different stages.
And we practiced a few
times.
We
did it in the studio, me and Bernice, because as always, we would never ask anyone to do something we're not willing to do ourselves.
Yes.
So we're like, well, we better go out and do this.
Yeah.
And like, you have different phases where you just start moving. And then one phase, it's all like crazy sporadic and you're like punching pillows and you're screaming.
You're shouting out things.
You're yelling.
And you can swear, like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Pillow! And you like beat a pillow. And then one, you do a chant where you're like,
oh yeah, what do you say?
Oh, 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 oh.
And we were kind of doing it and hyperventilating, which I think is the point a little bit, is to hyperventilate. But it was pretty funny because then we start out kind of, and then as we got more into it, we were like, it sounded. And then that's when we looked at each other and we were like, wow. I don't know. Should we do this?
And then like the last phase, you just have to hold. And so wherever your body is, you have to hold. And you're supposed to like sit with that discomfort of wherever your body is. Like maybe your arms are above your head and
yeah.
you can't move for literally 15 minutes.
It's a freeze dance is what it's like.
It's the longest freeze dance of your life.
Yeah. It was when we froze, we were only going to do for 5 minutes.
Yeah. We were going to do a shortened Osho meditation.
But even 5 minutes, I mean, you just try and freeze in a position for 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's hard.
It was really hard.
It's super hard.
And we didn't realize, you know, when you're reading about it or watching someone do it, you don't think it's that hard.
Mm-mm.
And then when you start doing it, though, you're like, uh-oh, that was really hard.
That was real hard.
And the yelling part was super tiring. The yelling and punching things.
I do want to do an Osho, but I would love to do it with people who sign up willingly for it. See, that's the problem.
I know we're going to like spring it on people like.
Now we're going to do Osho meditation.
Let's talk about manifestation. And with that, we're going to do a, 30-minute Osho meditation. And I'm sure we're at this yoga retreat, by the way, and they're always complaining, like, they're kind of loud. Can you turn your music down? Because it's a beautiful retreat, very quiet.
And all the signs everywhere say, shh, we appreciate your silence.
And can you imagine the yelling, swearing part?
Oh, my God, that would be
like, fuck you, Mom! I fucking hate you! Like, people just shouting stuff. Don't touch me! And then getting to the, and just having, like, 20 women panting like that. Oh, my God. I feel like it's a Saturday Night skit that would be really good.
I know. Anyway. It's so funny. But I do want to try it with a group of willing
people.
Yeah,
so anyone who's interested, just contact us.
And contact us. We'll do it. Yeah,
we'll run it wherever we'll do it with you are. You. We have a shortened version. Thank goodness.
Anyway, so why did we start talking about this?
I don't know. Something about, the walking meditation.
Oh, walking. Yeah. That yeah. Ula, movement meditation. Yeah. Yeah. So ULA. Yes. So that's why it's good for me. Anyone out there with a hyperactive brain, like I think a lot of us.
Monkey mind.
It's very, very common for us to have overactive brains. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry you guys have to hear about all of my working on stuff. Sometimes I'm like, what's the point of this podcast?
What the point is that?
Why would anyone listen to all of the things that I'm struggling with?
How the heck is that point?
But I do realize that whenever we connect with people about the podcast, a lot of people are feeling the same things.
Yeah, and I like that better because, you know, our whole life, it's all about like,
let me tell you the answer.
I have the answer. And I'm always like, do you? I mean, you seem very confident. But then I look into the person's private life and I'm like, you're very gifted at
you're a heinous bitch.
Teaching, but something weird's going on in your private life. So then it's like, isn't it better just to have it open-ended sometimes and then, I don't know, then we all get to work at it together.
It's very true.
You know, there's always this striving.
Yeah.
Will there be an end? I don't know. Will we have the answers? Today we will.
Today we will.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
No, I'm just lying.
Give me some answers today. I got lots of questions.
Please, somebody.
Please, somebody.
I said somebody.
Somebody.
Somebody and someone.
I know, I heard that.
I know, somebody.
It's okay.
So what are we talking about? It's a good, well, it comes from
so
the
our song.
Song.
Yeah, our song this week is called Flames. You guys will experience it soon if you haven't already.
Rehab.
Like Rehab. But the three, it's the three instead of an E, just so you guys know.
Tricky. Whoa.
Wouldn't you love to be in that band naming session?
When you guys are all, everyone's all like, I don't know, like, what about
Should
rehab?
Should we call it like rehab?
But
Should
that's
we...
like too serious. So what if we throw like a number in?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I love it.
All caps.
All caps. Always all caps.
Anyways, we got this song, Flames.
It's a pretty cool song.
And featuring Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy. Now another good name.
But his name is Jungle B-O-I.
Boy.
Another one of those instances.
Boy.
Let's change the Y to an I. Just to be a little edgy.
I want to be different. I don't want to be Jungle Boy. I'm Jungle Boy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Hey, boy.
Hey, boy.
So the song is Flames. Stop. Come on.
Jungle Boy.
What's his name?
Who?
Jungle Boy.
Tarzan. Oh, I'm like, how can you not know Tarzan? The love of my life.
I'm sure he was.
He will come to me through the trees. I often look up, just in case.
Tarzan, is that you? Exactly. I just got a perm. Do you like my new bangs?
Do you think I would fit in Africa?
God.
I'm just wanting to be like, you'll find me someday.
Anyway, we digress. Enough.
Yes.
Enough of that. So the song is called Flames.
Jungle Boy.
Stop. It's called Flames. And it's about, like, it's this guy, and he's singing to somebody, and he's basically like, you got, like, he's basically asking whoever it is to, like, just let him go. Like, when he decides to leave, like, let him go. Don't follow him. Don't come after him. And then to, like, light him up in flames or essentially, like, destroy him or the image of him or the love that this, you know, person has for him and just kind of destroy it.
Yes.
And so it really got me thinking as I was thinking about the lyrics and the message. I was thinking about how this can relate to absolutely. Another song, another person, or how it can relate to ourselves and how we just, we have this drive, some of us, to either self-sabotage or to sabotage something else or a relationship or a career or whatever it may be before it can sabotage us. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we could talk about self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a really interesting subject.
It really is an interesting subject. And it's something we probably all partake in a little bit sometimes of, maybe not everybody, but how we self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of when you say self-sabotage?
Right, right.
So what do you think of when you say it?
Well, I think, you know, I have an urge to quit things. Mm-hmm. And I think for me that is a little bit of a self-sabotage mechanism, because it's like, or, you know, maybe not self-sabotage, but I guess kind of self-sabotage, but to be like, you know, I'm going to quit this before it can end. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, because sometimes the end of something is really scary.
So like a fear of failure or something, or
a fear of failure.
So why not just stop it?
Or a fear of success, or a fear of getting sick of it.
Yeah.
Or a fear of, yeah, not liking it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes for me, I'm like, I'm just going to quit now. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. You know, that's a common phrase, I think, for a reason, like mm-hmm. quit while you're ahead. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes getting to the end of something is a really scary thing to do.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I don't think we want to do that. So we're like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill it before it can die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I do that sometimes. And of course, I still have to deal with the end. Mm-hmm. Because it still ended. Because I always mm-hmm. think like, oh, well, I don't know. I procrastinate. I think that's one form of self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, it won't matter. And then either I don't do it or I finally do it. And it's still, if I don't do it, it's still painful.
It is still painful. But don't you feel like you are the one to sabotage it? So then you feel like at least it's going to end on my terms.
Oh, yeah. Good point. So it's about control.
It's about control. Yeah. I think it all comes down to
that's
control.
A good point. Yeah.
And I think that's what this song is about for him. Mm-hmm. You know, to be like, you're not going to break my heart. I'm going to break yours.
You're right. Yeah.
And just like, so, don't hate me. Don't love me anymore. Just like burn me up in flames.
Yeah.
You know, just
I'm
like
not
destroy,
any good,
destroy, like forget about me.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And he's pushing her away.
Yeah. He's like, don't follow me. Yeah. Like, let me go. He says that so many times. Just let me go.
Yes.
And so what do you think about self? Like what have, or actually better yet, like what is an example in your life where you feel like you've self-sabotaged?
When I was younger, I wouldn't finish college.
Oh, huh.
And I wonder if it was about, of course, looking back with hindsight, I'm like, oh, how gifted you were. You know what? Like, you weren't ready, or you need to do all these other things first. Or mm-hmm. I wouldn't have met Mike if I had finished college probably at the normal time.
Sure.
But I just wouldn't finish. Like, it took me forever.
Yeah.
And I would, like, start a college, and then I just wouldn't go to class. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd start a few classes, and then mm-hmm. a month would go by, and then I just wouldn't go back. Mm-hmm. And I think I was afraid of, maybe afraid of growing up.
Oh, sure.
You know, now that I look back on it. Because yeah. that, it's, we have such a weird upbringing in our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in school and school and school. And then you put to go to this college. And then suddenly when you finish college, you're supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
Or it feels like that.
Yeah.
Even though that's not necessarily true.
Right.
But it felt like that to me. And I was just like, I don't know everything.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, for Rob, he also just stopped going to class, but he was going to school for like business and he hated business.
Yeah.
It's not what he was meant to do. So I wonder if there's something inside too that's like, if I finish this, then I kind of have to do this.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know if this is actually what I want to do.
Time and energy.
Yeah.
Into
and everyone's going to be like, so what are you doing with your degree?
And they do that from the day, you know, from day one in college. Like, you know, what are you going to major in?
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I have no idea.
Right.
And I went through so many different majors.
Yeah.
You know, how about film and TV? How about geography? How about archaeology? How about history? How about English?
Right.
You know, it was just like constantly searching. Yeah. And then finally, I started to get kind of old. And I picked psychology.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, well.
Well, and your whole family did psychology.
Yeah. My sister had already done it. It was funny because I kept picking things they would like. My older sister was English. So I'm like, I'll do English.
Yeah.
And then one did, I'll do psychology. And psychology was at least somewhat interesting. And
I hope so.
And then that's what
that is your job.
Doing is my job. Yeah.
It was somewhat interesting.
Somewhat interesting.
It held my attention
for a little bit.
For a little bit.
And But until
I ran away to New Zealand with that sexy man.
Hello. He was a Maori man, as we've already talked about. But that was a big deal because I got a lot of flack from everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of self-sabotaging.
Do you think you've ever sabotaged something really good because you were afraid of like how it would end or you were afraid of it kind of sabotaging you?
Mm-hmm. I think I worked at this great little, cause I love history too. Well, mm-hmm. I just love knowledge. I think knowing things.
You do love knowing things.
I love knowing things.
My little phone goes off constantly. Oh my gosh. Just, news.
I'm just like, oh my goodness.
She has to know everything.
Fascinating. What's happening now? And so I worked at a little, museum on an island, and I was the assistant curator. Mm-hmm. And it was in Maine, and the nice curator lady gave me in charge of like the whole place. Like I loved it. I loved that work. I got to do research on all the families that lived on this little island, and then research on the lobster fishermen, the families around in the general area, and the whole history of the area. But then partway through the summer, Mike and I weren't getting along. And she was giving me more and more responsibility at the job.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that crushed her.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, the best thing she did, she wrote me a letter. And in her letter, she said how much it hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stopped me from doing it.
Yeah.
Because I realized when I leave things, you're leaving people. Like you're leaving messes or, you know, I wasn't wrapping them up. I was just like, I'm leaving the next day.
Totally.
And she was just like, it was a great letter. Like I saved it. I saved it through all the years because it was super nice, but it was also chastising.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to be aware of how you're affecting people.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And she almost said like, I don't think you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And I really depended on you. And she just had a baby, which I didn't understand was hard. And so maybe that's another way to help with self-sabotaging too, is feedback from people. Because sometimes you don't realize, you know, it's unsaid. Like in my family, it was unsaid that I was hurting people. But when she just threw it out there and said it, it was like, oh, it really is hurting people.
And that's maybe more not self-sabotage. That's just like, it's just being destructive a little bit.
Selfish.
It is selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Selfish. Definitely
selfish.
I mean,
you sabotaged her. You sabotaged yourself in that.
No. Although I love that job and I would have loved to stay there. But part of me was like, well, my relationship doesn't work and I just don't want to stay.
Right. Yeah. Which ultimately probably was the right decision.
It probably was in the big picture.
In the big picture.
But we have hindsight is 2020, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe now I'd be head of the Smithsonian.
You may be.
I mean, I don't know.
You wouldn't be reborn recording the Mind Body podcast.
I wouldn't be.
That's for sure.
Working on the choreography for Flames.
Darn.
Now, what about you and self-sabotage?
What's the
in
question?
Your life?
Well, like instances?
Yeah, give an example.
Well, I mean, like I talk about a lot. I mean, I've wanted to quit Ula many times.
Yes.
Because I am afraid how it's going to end.
Yeah.
I think it's really scary to think, are someday people just not going to come anymore?
Right. It'll just be like
is there someday that just, you know, I literally just minutes ago posted on the community page. I was like, is anyone going to, I don't know how to make my
phone,
my computer stop dinging
loud
without it recording the sound.
That's very like Pavlovian. As I've said, I get very excited about it.
So maybe I'll just turn, I don't know. Sorry, you guys.
Can you make it vibrate?
Just don't worry about it. I'll
anyway,
just keep talking.
Let's move on. So,
so one of the things that I just posted about on the community page is I said like, hello, is anyone going to sign up for the Empowerment Weekend? Because we're really low on signups, which is not normal.
Mm-mm. Not for Missoula.
Not for Missoula. And so it kind of scares me because it's like, I just wonder how the end is going to happen for Ula. Like, are people just one day going to be stopped? Are they going to stop being interested? Are they just going to stop coming to the studio? Are they going to stop signing up for Empowerment Weekends? Are they going to just not want to renew their certifications? You know? And so that to me is obviously a really scary feeling, or like imagining that that's how it ends before I want it to end.
Right.
Is a really scary thing.
And you don't have control over that end.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm like, well, I'll just shut it down now so that I'm in control, so that it can't hurt me. I can hurt it.
Well, we're very similar together.
Well, that's why it's trouble. You're like, fine. I'm like, fine.
But then we think about it for a little while. We're like, no.
We give it the weekend. And yeah. We're like, okay, I guess we can do this again.
We can do it again, I guess.
But it is, you know, there is that, I think, there's that need to protect ourselves to be like, you know, I will control how this ends. I haven't had this experience in my, like, my romantic partnership relationship because I have been with Rob for so long since I was, you know, 20. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people feel this when they're in relationships. You know, I think that there's a lot of fear to...
Oh, this is good.
A lot of fear. You know, you'll see people who will pull back or who will break up with someone and the other person will be like, God, I thought, like, what happened? We were so happy. Because I think that there's this, like, oh, shit, like, I'm really starting to like or love this person and I'm afraid that they will hurt me. Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, what happened with my last relationship will happen again. So I'm going to pull out.
I'm going to peace out. Yeah.
Yeah. Before this person can break up with me or right. before we fall out of love or right. before we get sick of each other. You know, I think that's also just like, I think some people like that serial dating thing too, because you never fully have to connect or commit. You can just like, right. oh, as soon as it's not super fun anymore, then you can
get out of it.
Out. Because right. there's that fear. Like, I think it's scary to think about what if I fall in love with this person and they fall out of love with me? Or what if I fall out of love with them? I mean, that's a scary thought.
Oh, that's a super scary
thought. So I think some people are just like, you know what? Nope. I'm going to quit before it can get bad.
Play it safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I don't blame them for at all.
And, you know, like, I haven't had that in my romantic relationship, but I've had that with friendships.
Oh, yeah.
I've had some seriously painful friend breakups where I, to be totally honest, am much more cautious in my friendships now. I'm like, well, I will let nobody in as close as I've let some people in because it fucking hurts mm-hmm. when you break up.
Well, and you're such a good friend. I mean, you're such an open friend. You know, when you go in, you go all in.
I go all in.
You go all in. And I remember thinking like, oh, she's going all in. Something bad going to happen. But maybe not. That's just my,
But you're right. Mm-hmm. Because now I don't do that with friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have like a couple.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
But everyone else, I'm like.
Some older friends.
Yeah. But yeah. Now I'm like, I will never, ever go that deep into a friendship as I have with different friendships in the past because, and I think it goes back to this song. It's like, mm-hmm. like, if I'm going to walk away, like, let me walk away. Like, I don't want this to destroy either one of us. Mm-hmm. You right. know? So let's just not.
And it feels like it could.
And it feels like it could. The so let's just stay a little bit more separate now.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I don't want it. I don't want either one of us to get like to go up in flames because of this.
No. And then you just know that those endings are so hard too because there's no retracting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't, it's really hard to go back.
Well, it's interesting with a friendship versus a romantic relationship because with a partner, you're like, I am your partner and we're building a life together. Mm-hmm. You know, but with friendships, it's like you still want to commit to somebody without almost committing to build a life together. So mm-hmm. it's a weird thing because you can feel super, super connected to someone, but you don't have the kids to keep you together.
Right.
You don't own a home together. You know, sometimes the things where you're like,
We're stuck together,
so we got to work this out.
Right, right.
Sometimes you don't always have those things with friendships.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, I just know that like there's some of that like, nope.
Yeah.
We're not going to get close because I don't want to get to the point where someone like, you know, is lit up in flames.
Right. Yeah. That's a great, and I was just thinking like, I'm always careful in my more careful in my friendships.
Well, now I am. You're smart. You're well, a little older than me.
But
well, I know. I'm like, I
was just looking at a picture the other day from someone posted pictures from our high school or our grade school yearbooks on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I saw this picture. It made me so sad because I had two best friends growing up. One, her name was Elaine. And we were best friends like in first, second, and third grade. Mm-hmm. But her dad was in the military. In Hawaii. And then they were just like, we're moving. And I remember being like, where are you going? And they moved to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They moved to like DC. So I never saw her again mm-hmm. after that. I did occasionally. But I think that was my first understanding of like, oh no, like people leave. And I had already had trouble with attachment because of my upbringing.
Yeah.
And then my second best friend was Betsy Hamilton, and she had a back brace because she had scoliosis. But she had this beautiful face. She had these long, dark eyelashes and these bright blue, aqua blue eyes, I remember. But she looked weird because she wore her back brace. But she looked kind of like, I don't know, it was just like a cool looking person in her back brace. Anyway, she was like my best friend for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Her dad was in the military too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved.
Yeah.
And after that, it's been really, I was kind of like, uh-oh, don't put your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Because it hurts so, it really hurts so bad. Like, and I was not that old, but I saw her picture, us on the stairs in 8th grade. And I'm like, that was my best friend.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and I remember like we all got together and that was the last night. And then they flew, you know, in Hawaii, it's like, bye. And then they fly off and then you're like, bye-bye.
Left on this island.
I'm still here. So, you know, it's weird how you learn that those types of behaviors to protect yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So I think there is that. It's just, it's about protection. I think self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about fear. And, you know, everyone's like, everyone says, oh, you're not actually afraid of failure. You're afraid of succeeding. But I think I'm afraid of failure, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I have both, totally, I think, true. Sometimes. I know when people are like, well, is it fear of failure or fear of success? And I'm like, how about both?
How about both? I think that's more appropriate.
You put yourself out there and then the thing doesn't work, you know, and you're like, ugh. Or what if you put yourself out there and the thing works and you're like, uh-oh, you know, now what's expected of me?
Yeah.
And how long does it go for? You know what I mean? Or can you step off?
You know, I mean, I think about too, like, how would I end? Like, how does this thing ever end?
Right. Well, it's, yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, people have year contracts. We schedule out trainings. Like, you know, we schedule out basically the whole following year.
I'm like,
dang, that'd be hard to, you
it'd
know.
Be but hard is, to, of course, people do.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but it is this thing where it's kind of like, well, I don't want it to kill me. I want to be in charge.
Right.
I want to be in charge. I want to set the terms of when this all ends. Whatever it is, a relationship,
and
a job, a
career. Maybe that's not bad. Maybe that's good.
Right.
So you're not surprised or, you know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Well, I think you have to be really clear why you would want to end it. Are you ending it out of fear or are you ending it because you're really ready to move on to something else?
Right. And maybe you have something else. Like now I'm, you know, whatever.
Wow, my interests have totally changed and my heart is just, it's just telling me to be doing this other thing.
Right.
Well, then yes, you should probably end what you're doing.
Right. And go to that next
thing. If you want to end it because you're afraid that it's going to be too painful if it doesn't work out or if you're not good enough, you know, or somebody, you're afraid someone's going to fall out of love with you. So you're just going to end it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think those are different. Does it mean you stay in something that doesn't feel good? No, but I think we need to look at the reason that we want to flee, the reason we want to be the one to destroy something, to sabotage something and say, where is this coming from? Is it out of fear? Is it out of a lack? Or is it because I really am being called to do something else? My heart is really wanting to go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Yeah, I had that. I was surprised when I got married, everyone was like, I bet you won't stay faithful.
Oh,
you know, because of just
you told me that.
My youth or whatever. And
your track record.
My track record.
And the old notches in your belt.
Thank you, John. No. And Brad. And Scott.
And Steven.
And Travis. What a time I had. Anyway, people were surprised. They were all kind of looking at Mike, even though, like, you know, Mike, you know, he seemed very successful in that department with the ladies. Doesn't matter. But they were all kind of looking at him like, uh-oh. Good luck there, bud. But through the years, I was so surprised that I could stay faithful and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a hard time. I almost self-sabotaged. It was probably like 10 years into the marriage, 10 or 11 years. And the kids were like, I don't know. It was still struggling, like 3, 5, and 7. I mean, it was just hard time. And
I thought you got pregnant with Joe on your honeymoon.
Yeah, I did. So she was like 9, maybe 9. Maybe they were younger. Anyway, one was three. It doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Three.
I just, goes me my, off my brain sees a timeline.
It wasn't like, it was like three,
whatever.
Six.
We get it. They were little. Sorry. Anyway, I interrupted.
I went to graduate school at the time. And it was tough to be in graduate school.
Oh, God.
And I'm with
imagine.
A bunch of people that are like, I was probably 38 and everyone was like 28, which mm-hmm. is fine. But I also, nobody had kids and I felt like I was always kind of struggling to, you know, balance that part out and mm-hmm. do all my work. So what happened was that got to be a stressful time. And then there was a person in my graduate program who I was like, and they were starting to pursue me actively. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, I could, you know. Because also you're at that stage where I'm like, oh, am yeah. I still attractive to
oh, totally.
Other men?
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I could have self-sabotaged at yeah. that point.
Yeah.
And I had to really sit myself down and be like, hey, mm-hmm. this is your life. And you're yeah. going to give it up and for a short-term reward,
right.
basically.
Right.
And I already knew the history of this particular person and that they always went for married people.
Mm-hmm.
That was their history too, because mm-hmm. we happen to be in the psychology department. So yeah. like, I know your history.
Right.
You have trouble with attachment, you know, or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And so it was like, you better be clear, B, because you already know that this person is not going to be a committed person.
Yes.
And so I almost self-sabotaged at yeah. that point, and I had to really look at where that need was coming from,
uh-huh.
and kind of identify it, and then get help for it.
Yeah.
Which was a good thing at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And kind of mind blowing too, but
I'm sure. And I think sometimes those situations, they feel like they can give us clarity.
Yes.
You know, like, oh my gosh, like it really makes you prioritize and figure yeah. out what do I want?
Yes. Right. Yeah. You know? What do you want?
And the thing is, when you have these little children too, it's like it's not just about you anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right. You have these people looking up to you
and needing you.
And then I'm like, how do you figure that out?
Oh, yeah.
You know, with these yeah. little children and then, you know, and
for
I think
sure.
sometimes self-sabotage happens that way where it's like you get this short-term reward.
Yes.
Where it's like, boo, like a burst of dopamine or whatever.
It is. So much energy.
Yeah. You
yeah,
know?
So much energy.
So much energy. And then afterwards you're like, uh-oh.
I don't think I want this.
I don't think I want this.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you have to kind of think about, okay,
mm-hmm.
maybe that helps with understanding why I want to self-sabotage.
Yeah.
And if I really want to do this behavior. Right. Now, you might really want to do it. That's okay. But at least you took the time to do it before you just went and did it.
Yes. Like being very clear, this is what I want. I'm
yeah.
no longer happy in my familial life or my career or
my
you
needs
know,
aren't being met.
My needs aren't being met. My soul does not feel like it's, you know, it's on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, this needs to end. But
right.
man, it's like the self-sabotage when it involves other people, it's so much more than just the self.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
you're sabotaging so many other things too.
Especially,
you know?
Like, it was so easy for me when I was young.
Right.
Because it's just me.
Yeah.
And maybe a person I hurt, you know, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, for sure. But not a husband of 10 years and three small children.
No, because then you start realizing that this is a very different story.
It's a very different
than
story.
Than when I was doing it at a younger age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a different story.
But sometimes you have to get scared a little bit to realize how impactful your decisions can be.
Yes, right.
You know?
Yeah, you do. You have to scare yourself.
You do have to kind of scare yourself a little bit. Yeah. And then I think the way out of that too is like, you know, going back to Ula, it's like, yeah, but Kaylee, how many people would be affected by this decision because you're afraid of how Ula's going to eventually one day end?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
so
you're
then you're always preparing for it too.
Yeah.
In
totally.
A weird way. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'll prepare for it.
Right. But so my fear would be controlling enough to then take away the joy that Ula can bring to so many people. I like what I do.
Yeah. It's a great, I mean, who else gets to do this stuff?
So it's kind of like, well, I just have to then stop. And this is where we talk about looking at your thoughts, not from your thoughts, and saying, oh, okay, I'm understanding. Like, that's fear. And I get to now sit with that fear. I get to think about like where it's coming from.
Yes. And it might be, maybe you have stress this week.
I don't know. Maybe this was a hard week.
That doesn't
mean we're going through transition.
Yes. And that doesn't mean something should end. Right. It's kind of like what we were talking about with marriage. You know, it's more like maybe just a hard week.
Maybe it's a hard week. Maybe it's a hard month. Maybe it's a hard year.
Maybe it's a hard year. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Totally. But is it worth giving up on because it's not feeling euphoric?
Yes. That joyful. I don't feel joyful this week. Yeah.
And I think for someone like me, commitment is so necessary because I can be flighty.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important for me to have that commitment because it doesn't allow me to quit
mm-hmm.
so easily.
Right.
You know, like,
because people depend on you.
Well, yeah, but or you just have responsibility. Like when we open this new studio, it's going to be a lot harder for me to be like, well, I guess I'm done.
Right.
You know, because we're like investing massive amounts of money and time and energy and, you know, other people are going to be collaborating. It's not just going to be the ULA space. It's going to be a space that, you know, is a collaborative space. Houses a number
of businesses.
So, yeah. So for someone like me, it's important, you know, like if I weren't married to Rob, it would probably be a lot easier for me to be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But it's like, so a commitment, being locked into something, is good for someone like me who can be like, well, I'm going to quit when it gets hard.
Right.
And I see that with Huxley. I'm sure I'll see it with the other kids too, but it's so hard to see when your kid is challenged by something and then wants to quit.
Yes.
And it's so easy for me as a parent to be like, don't give up just because it's hard. But I'm like, look at me. I want to quit everything that feels hard.
Oh, I know. That's such a, it's the race kids. Again, we'll talk about it, but I see all the different ways of dealing with that type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, kids have to start something new like every freaking day. You know, it's like, then you're going to learn the alphabet. And now you're going to do this. And then we say, how about a sport?
Right.
How about you want to do soccer? Yeah. You know? And then you see all the kids. I mean, it's hard to do stuff that you've never done before and your body doesn't work real good.
No.
You know, it's not like a grown-up body that you're used to all the limbs.
You have control over
it. Yeah, yeah. You've been in it for a while. Yeah. You're kind of used to it.
Yeah.
They're a little body. I mean, literally, like, Huxley just learned to walk, you know, 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we're like, would you like to play soccer?
Right.
I think that it's right. Just, and we're even watching someone like Ray in 7th grade, because now he's 6 feet now. He's grown like 4 inches in the last 2 months.
Poor guy.
So then I'm like, why are you falling down? You know, yeah. Because it's like, it's not, he's not used to these limbs.
Right.
And it's so easy then for the kids to be like, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
I fell down every 2 minutes in that game.
Yes.
Like, I'm out of here. I'm done. Ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
People
exactly.
are looking. Mm-hmm. I guess suddenly you're doing these sporting things and your families are there.
Yeah.
And so what do you tell your kids, you know, at that point? Do you say, I mean, I learned from Mike, because of course I was in the mode of like, okay, quit. That's tough.
Yeah. That don't does do look hard. I wouldn't do that
I would
either.
Never do that, by the way. And, but my husband's so good. He's like, no. He's like, this is teaching you life lessons.
Right.
You know, stick with it.
Yep.
It's going to be hard. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to get ashamed.
Yep.
You know, all those things where I'm like, why? They seem unpleasant.
Well, it's so crazy with kids as a reflection of yourself too, because like for example, Huxley's trying to learn all her numbers. Not only is she trying to learn her numbers in English, but in Spanish.
Oh.
So we had a little advent calendar and we were filling it with like green and red M&Ms yesterday. So I'd point to all the different numbers and be like, what's that? And she's like, 12. I'm like, it's not 12. What, it goes 18, 19, then what? And she's like, you know, 20. And then we go back to that one. I'm like, what number is this? 22. And I'm like, no, it's 20. Huxley, we just talked about this. And I could tell myself, I could feel getting frustrated, be like, why aren't you learning this? And so then, you know, I made it unfun. Mm-hmm. Like, I ruined the advent calendar mm-hmm. yesterday.
There we go. Fun.
I totally ruined it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was supposed to be such a fun little thing where we're like learning patterns for Piper. So it's like, this one's green, that one's red. This one is green. Piper, what is that one then? Red, you know, like learning that. So then with Hux, I'm trying to be able to do all the numbers, which I think she should know by now.
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for saying that, because I'm like, some should know this by now.
Some folks do, as you know, as we all know. But maybe Ray didn't know his numbers real good till second grade.
Oh, right. Well, he turned out fine. So, but one of the things that I had to reflect on with myself was, why does this upset me? Mm. And then I realized that I have such a fear of being left behind.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
I have
in
a
the
big,
class.
Well, just in life.
Oh.
Am I going to be left behind?
Right.
Am I not doing good enough? Have I not worked hard enough?
Right.
Am I behind where I should be?
Right.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, no. I'm afraid my daughter is going to be, I'm putting my fear on her.
On
maybe
her.
She's not going to be as
and
good.
And how funny, because she could manifest it now.
Yes.
Or not that she would, but, you know, do
yes.
So they start to learn that
totally.
Behavior?
She's learning. And, well, I don't know. I hope I can catch it in time. I hope I haven't done permanent damage.
No.
But I'm like, oh, I'm afraid that she's not where her peers are.
Mm.
And that's activating my fear. Mm. And then now I have to be really careful that it doesn't become her fear.
Yes. That's how we pass them down.
That's how we
pass
them down.
That's a great example.
And yeah. I'm like, I didn't make this fun for you, did I? And she was like, no. And I said, I bet Maestro Grogan and Mrs. Line would teach you your numbers way more fun than that. And she was like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm like,
laughed.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like she kind of gets me. I almost feel like she can see my flaws and
yeah.
kind of forgive me for them.
Right. She's like, she seems uptight about this.
Maybe that's night. Maybe that's, you know, negligent. What's the word?
Naive.
Naive, negligent. Just, I don't know. But I need to, it's that's such right. a reflection for me to figure out where my fears are.
Yeah.
And then I never thought, oh my gosh, I never thought, like, once she learned how to walk, I'm like, whoa, she hit all her milestones.
Yeah.
I'm done worrying about
Darn.
Her. What an idiot.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that they kept going. Then I'm like, oh my God. And when are they reading? And when is she going to be able to swim?
Right.
And so, it was such a good reminder for me that I'm going to have to deal with this in myself,
mm-hmm.
or else it's going to be really unpleasant for myself and my children as we go through
mm-hmm.
their journey
mm-hmm.
of life.
Yeah. Very good. Very good point.
Holy cow. And then you see that desire to self-sabotage when you suck at something because it's hard.
Right.
So I've got to make sure that I don't make my children want to self-sabotage when they suck at something.
Mm-hmm. That's how my dad was a perfectionist and he was super smart.
Yeah.
So
that's
then
how Rob is.
So then I wouldn't get the answers right most of the time. So I learned.
Was
not,
he grumpy then?
Yeah. He would get grumpy.
Oh, that's kind of what I did.
So
yesterday.
Then I learned not to ask questions.
Oh yeah.
In
sure.
class because I didn't.
You were afraid.
I was afraid
yeah.
because he would be like, what? And I'm like,
I know. I was like, you think that's 12?
Huxley? She's like, 21.
I'm like, no. Where's the one? Do you see a one in the second space? No. You will hear the number
what?
In the word.
I don't know.
I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. And she's like, I just want to eat M&M's.
Yeah. Good choice, Huxley.
Poor baby.
Poor baby. Well, and we see it continuing through the ages. Like Ray's 7th grade basketball team. Some of the parents are so like...
Oh, yeah.
Wrapped up in it.
Well, you are, too.
Oh, no,
you called your kid a dumbass.
I apologize. And
some of the parents, my goodness. Okay, Miss Judgy.
How alarming. Who are they? Not me. I know. Then my husband had to say, I'm not sitting next to you.
I will not sit next to you if you say one more thing. I can just see Mike. For you, for those of you who have met Mike or seen him, pictures of him, can't you just imagine this kind and gentle man, not even looking at Bernice,
looking
just
at
staring out at the court and just talking very calmly, but very sternly.
I'm like, dumbass! And then I'm like, oops, I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's like...
And we get, because they're reflections of us.
They're reflections
of
us.
It's like me playing basketball.
Holy cow.
And by the way, he's way better than I am. Like, what am I thinking?
Right.
I can't dribble a ball.
Right.
But part of me in the moment is like, I'm gifted. And I'm like, you've got a problem. because that's why then kids learn, you know, shame or
yeah,
maybe,
shame and yeah,
and not
shut
wanting
down,
to do it,
to not want to do it.
I just will not do it. I do. Not
I won't
do
things
do
that
it.
Are hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's what this comes down to. Even like with Ula too, I'm like, this is hard.
It's hard.
Maybe
and,
I'm just gonna quit.
And not every day is like a joyful day.
No,
not every
days
day
are
is
heinous.
Some days are hard.
Some days I hate Ula with a passion.
And then I'm like, what are we doing?
I know.
It is not making any sense. Or I'm like,
sometimes
nobody
I hate
likes
you.
Us.
I hate Ula.
I hate you.
I'm
like,
everything.
Quiet.
I know.
But that's life.
That is.
That's life.
in his life. And it's like, are you going to give up when it gets hard?
Right.
Well, that's up to you to decide. But I think the question is it coming from a place of lacking, a fear of shame, or is it coming from a place of my soul is literally calling me to do something else?
Yeah, right. And it was
this
like,
is no longer serving my highest potential, my highest good, my dreams.
Right.
And that's where we should be making our decisions from.
And that was the mistake I was making, because watch out, because sometimes the dopamine talks to us. And when I was considering that time in my marriage,
sure. Yeah.
It was saying, this is your soul. It really wants this.
Oh, uh-huh.
You feel this
yes.
drive.
You know, you're like, whatever. No, that's your clitoris.
Actually, not your soul talking.
it's feeling is in your sacral.
It's your sacral chakra. And she's dominating right now. So you're going to have to put a little damper on that. Hush now, my friend. But then even saying like, but now what does this look like?
Right.
You know, in terms of my life.
Let's play this out.
In
our heads.
In our heads. Just
not
a little
in real
bit.
Life.
Yeah.
In our heads.
In our heads. Before we make these decisions.
Right.
Let me play it out. Uh-huh. And I think that helps a lot, because we do get confused by the dopamine release. I think sometimes where you're just like, I think this is it. I do that a lot sometimes where I'm like, yes, it feels very good. I should buy that right away. You know, kind of like a retail therapy or something like that.
Yeah. 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 Good point.
And then afterwards I'm like, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I felt it.
Right.
I did feel it.
Right.
But it's kind of like you were saying today, we're sort of we're the captors of our feelings sometimes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, whoa, ho, 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 you know? So
yeah,
it's just a good thing, like you're saying, to reflect.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting topic. I think for you guys out there who want to just think about like when and where do you feel the need to just kill something or sabotage something before it can hurt you?
And what are your methods of sabotage?
What are your methods? And
we all have different ones.
Totally. And who's it going to affect besides just you?
Yes, right. Exactly.
You know, and is this a short-term thing? Is this in the moment that you're feeling like, you know, this is the right decision?
Answer.
Yeah, this is the answer now.
Maybe
but like,
I'm
what
been unhappy.
What are the consequences of this action in a week, in a month, in a year? Is that really what you want?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just making sure that we always stay in alignment with what we do want rather than what we don't want. Mm-hmm. What is the highest good? How can we continue on our path rather than thinking about, this sucks. I don't like this. You know,
this is hard.
I've been feeling lonely
and depressed for a while.
Right.
I think if I do this, you know, I'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you will, but be clear about why you're doing it and what the consequences are of the behavior.
Yeah. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a big one.
I know. I guess I'll be a runner again.
Yeah. I hate running.
Me too.
I could be a skipper.
I'm like, yeah, maybe I could. I could see you as like a skipper or like a, couldn't you be like a jump roper?
I'd like a jump rope.
I
think tried.
You could be good at jump roping.
Maybe I could. I'm not good, right? I'm good at regular jump roping, but not like the tricky stuff.
You know what would be awesome is your new permed bangs just bouncing up and down when you jump. Awesome.
They're not going to last that long, so enjoy them while they last.
Oh, I am. I'm enjoying them every day. Well, thanks for listening, and hopefully this has been an opportunity for reflection in your own lives. And remember, if you like us as people, if you like us as podcasters, please like, subscribe, give us a review. This is what helps us keep it on.
Yes, we love talking to you.
Well, we're really talking to each other, but we hope that you're energetically
with us. I feel like you're out there
sometimes.
I feel, you know, very special that you're listening.
I know. I feel like sometimes I can feel you.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.